Welcome to The Money Man. My name is Julian Valance, joined as always by Benny Clifton from the Sportsbet Trading Floor. How was the week, Benny?
Yeah, good week. Plenty of good weather as well. So it looks like it's here to stay, the sun. So, and a good day of racing at Caulfield on Saturday with Behemoth really stamping himself as a genuine Group 1 horse.
Yeah, absolutely it was. We're going to get up the track conditions for Caulfield on Saturday. We were on a good four. The rail was out 3 metres. Good four. Upgraded to a good three after race six. And that wind obviously did, I think, play some havoc. 20 to 35, got up to close to 40 k's northeasterly there, Benny. Vince Arcardi has sent us through the times from Daily Sectional, so thanks very much for that, Vince. We've put it into our database. This is really fascinating in terms of what it does to our times and the standard times and things like that. It's coming up in our system as, say, a soft five, soft six. Now, that's not right. What is happening is it's just the wind has really impacted these times. So we've clearly been on a good track, absolutely, but the times have significantly been just brought back a little bit because of that wind.
Yeah, it goes to show that they were running slower overall times than you'd expect on a good track. But as far as the track played, I think it played great. You could win from anywhere. You could lead and win. Horses came from back in the field and won. And it seemed like it was pretty even across the straight. Maybe a few horses off was the best place to be, but yeah, great day of racing at Caulfield.
Yeah, they did an amazing job. I think they've really got it together. I think what Caulfield have done here with this track, and obviously they're going to have to do it again this week. We have got plenty of rain about this week, so it's going to be interesting to see whether Jason Kerr actually takes the rail out before their sort of Caulfield Guineas and Caulfield Cup days. But nah, kudos to the Melbourne Racing Club again. Let's crack on with race one here, Benny. Now, very slow overall time, 1 1/3 second outside standard time, 23.66, 12.06. So a really slowly run race, still can't break 12 seconds last 200. Concerns me a lot. You could probably say the horse there with the pink cap back in the inside there, Queen of Rocks, ridden by William Pike, who was coming off a Ballarat synthetic win, was probably disappointed. And I think unlucky. And I think a lot of people would go, well, there's the Black Book horse. We speak about this a lot. No knock on the horses, but in terms of a punting perspective going forward and where do I want to back these horses, this race has gone poorly, to say the least.
You hit the nail on the head with the slow last section. The fact they've gone out so slow, the fact they haven't been able to break 12 seconds doesn't hold them in good stead going forward. And, you know, people will want to follow Queen of Rocks going forward because it was that flashing lights run, but I couldn't be following any horses out of this race, particularly this campaign. Maybe they come back better horses next campaign, but yeah, I'm putting a line through a lot of these going forward.
Yeah, and we spoke about it on Insider Trading. This has been a good horses race. So in the past, Tarzino's won it, Cliff's Edge has won it, Extra Brute's won it, Harlow Gold's won it. They're all horses that, you know, went on and did some amazing things. Two win a Derby, one should have won an Oaks. There's none of them in here. They might get better over further, but they're not going to be any players in Group 1s.
Well, I'm sure they've got Derby aspirations, and probably the connections are thinking, oh, we've run all right on Saturday. Let's proceed towards the Derby. But I'll be looking for different form lines in the lead-ups to the Derby.
Sure. I think from a punting perspective, and this is what we're always speaking of, it's not so much, you know, about the horse or anything. It's just from a punting perspective, you know that the market's going to take a huge set against this race for how slow they've gone and not being able to break 12 seconds, as you say. Race two, very different here, Benny. They've gone 1/4 second inside standard time, 24.14 last 400, 12.68 last 200, which was the worst of the day. But the reason it was the worst of the day is because this horse out in front, Ancestry, off 140 days, who's now built his 1,200-metre record to 4 wins from 7 goes, has absolutely smashed these horses up in the early part by going so fast.
Yeah, and you look at the other shoot races on the day, they were run a lot slower into that wind, and the jockey on this horse, Michael Poy, just took off and ran him into the ground. And, you know, they would have been sitting back off that really hot tempo and trying to make that ground, and there was a few horses resuming. It's very hard to run through the line when you're chasing such a hot tempo, and he got away with their Ancestry. But he has been a new horse since they gelded him, and winning by margins. You see he is working through his grades. He's winning by 3-4 lengths, and, you know, a very promising horse for mine.
Yeah, so you talk about those times. That first 600 metres, compare it to only the other 1,200-metre race, which was race 9, 1 second quicker. They've gone out first 600, 1 second quicker. That's how fast this horse has gone. In terms of the market, Music Edition, which was coming off a really fast win at Pakenham Synthetic, was 21 into 17, ran second. Legionnaire, 440 out to $4.80, runs third. Groundswell, it had returned off 147 days, returned gelded. Market wanted to be with it, $5 into $4.20, just didn't want to have that race shape first up. So be forgiving for that horse in these circumstances. I think if it was a soft tempo, may have been a little bit different. You're about to say something about him.
I just think it did have a cosy run, what looked a cosy run. It was probably entitled to get past a horse like Music Edition, who was chasing that hot tempo and doing all the work. So I don't know. Jury's out for Groundswell because I have gelded this horse coming into this campaign, trying to get it to race more genuinely, and I'm a little bit worried.
Yeah, that's fair. And I just think just that they've gone so quick that maybe it busted it. And Ancestry, well, we talk about whether the pros knew or didn't know with this horse, they had absolutely no idea. $3.30 out to $4.50 was even bigger the exchange. So they got that one wrong, the market and the professionals, but that doesn't happen too often.
No, but it's because it was first up.
Yep.
You find that a lot of these first up horses get really soft late in betting, and this was the same. And particularly they knew it was going to be run into that win. So I wouldn't read too much into the SP for that
good
horse.
Good shout. Race three, slowly run race here, Benny. A tenth of a second outside standard time, but I love the 22.64 last 400 and 11.56. You can see it highlighted in gold there, what we've done there with the graphics to highlight that it was the best last 400, last 200 of the day in terms of a race overall. And Muntasira, we speak about this a lot. Off 161 days, we needed to see whether this horse was going to progress and make it as a three-year-old. It was a very good performance. Market $3.80 into $3.40. So that was a positive sign. We've spoken a little bit about the market not having a great feel for these new three-year-old races. They got this one right with Muntasira, I thought.
And it was the only horse you want to be on the run. It travelled so much better than a lot of them and did have that cover from that wind. Really good win. I think it's a filly on the up. I think the times were okay for it to progress into harder races now and, you know, be competitive. I don't think it's anywhere near the top three-year-olds, but I think it can be competitive in a lot of the good races going forward. I thought Forever Free, the one that was a little bit easy in the betting, did you find that a little bit disappointing, that it did get a softish lead and, you know, ran its race, but it seems to have a ceiling.
Yeah, absolutely. Through. And I think this is the case. So we won three from three early doors, and now we've seen it come back, and maybe it just hasn't progressed and it hasn't gone on. As you were right, market took a slight set against it, 360 out to four. The other one I think has come back and been okay, because I think it's a race you can probably follow if they stay around this sort of grade. As you said, don't want to go up too high with their ceiling. It was Valaquenta's comeback, gelded off 112 days, sold in the market at $5.50, run second. I thought that was a pretty good performance. There's races in it.
Yeah, for sure. Did you think Ollie was too concerned with that horse trying to push out on his inside to really
possibly
ride? Because he got quite close to Muntasira in the end. He was trying to keep in Portland Ben Mallon on Portland Sky.
Yep.
Then when that horse dropped off, then he made the run towards Muntasira and didn't really miss by much. So I don't know. I reckon Ollie was probably a little bit too worried about that horse on the inside and didn't worry about the horse.
It was
horse
a bit of race riding there, wasn't there? Interesting one with Portland Sky. I was like, oh, there's the Black Booker. And then I just, in the last 50, I wanted to see it really savage the line, and it didn't. Now, maybe Ben was looking after it. I'm not 100% sure, but I wanted to see it really get through the line. And as we speak about it a lot, that last 50, 100 metres past the post is a great indicator. It didn't get through it as well as I thought it might.
Because it did travel like it was going to be in the finish, but it dropped off. So that was interesting.
Race four. Gone out pretty quickly here, Benny. 22.74 last 400, 11.70 last 200, equal to the standard time. I thought, look, front page was first up here. The interesting horse here is Octane back on the inside here. Don't drop off this horse, Octane, back on the inside with the sort of striped colours. Didn't have a lot of luck. The key with this horse is Caulfield, tight tracks are just not its go. It just needs a big track. We spoke about it on Insider Trading. Best figures, Murray Bridge, Flemington, Morfordville. Wait for it on a big track. It'll be winning.
He is a get-back horse, so he's going to be a little bit of a low percentage play, but no doubt talented. The horse I want to talk about front page here, Lewis German, jumped in front, could have taken the lead if he wanted, and then sat back off him, not just sitting the neck off the leader, sat a length off the leader and let the leader get away with it. I was really disappointed with that ride. He should have eyeballed the leader then from within, and I think it could have been a different story, because the strongest part of front page's race was this last 50 metres when it was coming again. So I don't know. I think he got it wrong there, Lewis German.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I was with the horse heavily, and I was disappointed in the fact that I think if they lead on the horse, I just don't know where he was in the prep. He's off 91 days and the camp obviously might have said to Lewis, hey, I want you to be a bit conservative. Well, if that's the case, you're probably were never going to win the race because his best asset is breaking them up early, like what we saw with Ancestry. That's what Front Page does. Now, obviously, off 91 days, maybe they wanted to be conservative going towards the Kosciuszko, and that's their right and that's their entitled to. But in terms of me betting into that race, I would have loved to have known that information because I wouldn't have declared him. So going forward, $3 into $2.60, $2.60 into $2.30. Market thought he would probably lead and break them up. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. From Within wins the race, 26 out to 31. Nothing else really from a market perspective. William Thomas won the race last year but was 9 into $6, bit of support, runs 30. Its best performances are always in fast run tempo. So if you get a fast run race, you bet William Thomas. If it's a softly run race, stay off him, I think. Race 5. Third of a second outside standard time. They've gone pretty slowly here overall, Benny. 23.38, 11.86, okay home. What do you make of this race?
Look, I think the race has gone okay. I was on Palmy here. I thought it actually got the bob on the line, but he'd had every chance. It just laid in a little bit in the straight and Damien Lane had to swap the whip to the other hand. So Palmy, every chance. I thought the winner, obviously a good effort, was specced in betting as well. Fats Chano's the one who was unlucky, but, you know, the race... They're limited this lot.
Yeah.
No doubt good mares, but they've got their ceilings and I don't think they're going to be challenging any of the big mares races.
No, absolutely not. And I think people have got to identify that. So kept in the same kind of race. The black booker here for me is Fasino. So who's the horse back with the blue? It was off 140 days. I love the market support, $10 into $8.50. So market suggested that he was, you know, right into this race. He just had no luck. Now, yes, it was a slow overall time. And, you know, it's not a great race to come out of, but I just think now this horse is in for a really good prep. We know it can get up to 2,000 metres. I think next start or even up to 1,600 metres third up, Fasino can be winning for you. So I think you can follow with the confidence again. Just stay at this level. Don't need to get too much higher. We'll be back after the break. We're going to go through Order of the Garter and Behemoth. Welcome back to The Money Men. We are dissecting Caulfield from Rupert Clark Day. Wind has had some impact just on the time, so definitely been an upgrade throughout the day, but times have just slightly softened what's going on at Caulfield. Race 6. This was a pretty good build-up to a 1,000 guineas, you would think. They decided not to run this week in the Prelude. They've ran in this race. Slow overall time, equal to standard, 23.06, 11.66, last 400, last 200, which is very good. What do you make of the race? Because obviously a few of these, I think, were saying, well, let's just have a bit of a hit out here. This is not the grand final because their intent was nowhere near where I thought it needed to be if you were wanting to win the race.
Yeah, well, I was on the favourite Aiden's Field and probably expected to roll forward from that outside gate given the market support, but went back. I thought it ran pretty well considering how slow they went in front. In regards to the winner, Odin, it did a great job. But it was in the right place at the right time. The three main dangers in the field were all out the back, just too far back to mathematically make up the difference. So I think the race has gone pretty well, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's a race you can follow with confidence.
As far as the 1,000 guineas goes, I don't think there's anything else outside of this lot that can challenge them, to be honest.
Well, there's the left field Adelaide horse, Instant Celebrity, which we'll see in the Guineas Prelude next Saturday. And that maybe will be the benchmark. But she's got to get here... 1,400, then 1,600 metres. That's just the knock for her. She might be too brilliant for 1,600 metres. We don't know yet. I'm just going to go through a couple of horses and see where you're at with them. Agreeable 480 out to $6 finishes sixth. What do you make of that horse?
I'm off her.
Yeah.
I know the tempo didn't suit. She ran home okay, but she's going to be given Mozzie Monster and Aiden's Field a start again in the 1,000 guineas, so I can't see her making up that ground. Maybe she's an Oaks horse and looking for even further than the mile, but I don't know. It's a little bit concerning at this
stage. Yeah, it is, and I think they can't get a lot of work. I think she's pretty, you know...
fragile.
Yeah, there's not a lot about her, so it'll be interesting to see where they go. Hindarne was 13 into $7.50, finishes 10th, and the other two I want to mention that you speak about, Mozzie Monster, $3 out to $4.20. Market took a set against it. She runs third, and Aiden's Field, obviously, the market did attract to, 380 into 310. You want to take Aiden's Field ahead of Mozzie Monster?
I think so. I think she's probably a little bit more versatile. She can't have shown in the past. She can settle a little bit closer. I think if she draws a gate in the 1,000 guineas, the intent will be there to sit a little bit closer. And I think she is probably the benchmark for mine at the moment, Aiden's Field, as far as the 1,000 guineas go. You know what you're going to get from her. She's a consistent filly, and I think she's probably the leading light at this stage.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're the two, Mozzie Monster and Aiden's Field. I'm not giving up on Mozzie Monster, but what I'm imploring the connections to do on both of these fillies is let's sit in the first four or five. If you want to win the 1,000 guineas, that's the only way you're going to do it is be positive on your horse and see what happens.
The problem is when they go the mile, the trainers aren't sure if they can run the mile, so they do ride them a little bit quieter. So that's the catch 22.
Yeah. Race 7, it was the Naturalism. You win this race, you get into the Caulfield Cup. So it was a massive ticket. This was a fast run race, 1 3/4 seconds inside standard time. So they have gone quick. This is a race you can follow with confidence, punters. I think to the eye when people were watching this, it was a fantastic ride and people walk off and go, well, Chapada and Steel Prince have ran second and third. Maybe this race hasn't gone any good. Well, the eyes are lying there. The clock is telling you. They've gone through the roof.
That was my initial reaction was that...
Yeah, me too.
You know, they crossed the line. I'm like, oh, it doesn't quite look like a Caulfield Cup horse. But the fact they went out so quick, you could argue that Order of the Gardo actually sat a little bit closer than the ideal position was on that quick tempo. Got the job done in really good style and was strong through the line. Drops to no weight in the Caulfield Cup and I think is a deserving favourite given how quick they've run there.
Yep, just from a market perspective, Dr. Drill, just 5 out to 6, 16, probably just forgive that horse. Steel Prince, 18 into 11. We spoke about it on Insider Trading. This horse ran last year, ran it at 750, finished sixth. Market was screaming at us, so he was going to run a massive race. Lived right up to that to run third. But Order of the Garter, the punter's new here, $3.60 into $2.90. This is a good push for a horse in such a quality race. You're right. He's got 50 kilos at the moment. Greg's obviously got to give him a penalty. That'll happen at some stage. We don't know what that'll be, but around 1.5 kilos, maybe something like that, 51.5 kilos. Jai McNeil has been booked to ride the horse. He is a clear winning chance going back through the profiles of the Caulfield Cup. Oh, on that effort, he can win the race easily.
Are there many internationals targeting the race this year?
I think it'll be Anthony Van Dyke, who's got 58.5, who many say is a really, you can't win with that weight, but we've had Best Solution win with 57.5. We've had Dunedin win it with 58, I think, and we've had another horse, Admire Ratke, win it with those kind of weights. It's become a bit of a quality race, the Caulfield Cup. Good horses can win it, but... The Order of the Garter puts himself right in a position now.
The thing I love about it is he's had three prep runs for the Caulfield Cup, all very fast races. I think he's going to have one more run. If he goes to Wait for Age, does that mean he can't get a penalty?
Correct. Yeah. So if he goes to Wait for Age race and wins it, he can't get a penalty. If he goes to a handicap race, well, then he's obviously eligible for another penalty. So you'd imagine Danny will be smart enough. He's such a good trainer. He's such a good camp. They'll pick the right path, no doubt about that. He's riding in the race.
For sure.
Race 8 was the main race. It was the Rupert Clark, and they've gone really fast here again. 0.4 of a second inside standard time, 23.80, 12.22. So only fair home, to be honest, less than fair home here, Benny. Race hasn't gone great overall in terms of Group 1 class, but Behemoth, I will also say, 1 second quicker than race 6, 1.5 seconds quicker than race 5. That's how quick they've gone out in this race. So it was a quick time overall, but... Just fair home that last 400, last 200, but Behemoth, super performance.
Again, yeah, and there wasn't a lot of big margins in the race. But Behemoth, there were a few unlucky runners in the race. Behemoth was one of them. He didn't get a lot of luck early in the straight. He lost his momentum, had to pick up again with the big weight, and he did a fantastic job. I don't think you run that race 10 times, he probably wins at eight or so because I just think he is, two or three lengths better than a lot of these horses who, Cascadian was unlucky on the inside, but that's what he does. He gets back and struggles to find a run. So Behemoth, all honours with it for mine. And I don't know if it goes to the Toorak, whether it should run a mile based on that, but it'd be creeping up there in the weights.
Yeah, that's the key. So it'd be interesting to see where they go. I just think 1,400 metres is just a perfect slot for this horse, and they've just done such a great job with him. So well done to the camp with Behemoth. In terms of the market, Banquo 10 into 7. I think that was just off the speed map. Market wanted to be with that. Pretty Brazen, 15 into 11 off the quick backup. It ran really well for third. Dollar for dollar, hold its price at that $27, ran a great second. And Behemoth, well, the pros knew here as well. They wanted to be with the horse. Forget about the top weight. It's only 6 kilo spread. We saw Jungle Cat do it 2 years ago. $4.40 into $3.80. They saluted. You spoke about Cascade and the other one's Superstorm. I think a lot of people coming out of the race will go, okay, I want to be with Superstorm and Cascadian for the Toorak. I agree with you, but I also agree with Ben's comments. They are low percentage plays because they will continually be in the third half of the field. And we know it's just always tricky, especially around Caulfield on hard, dry decks to be able to pick up horses. Plus, you need so many other variables to go your way. You need to get a split. You need to come around them. Makes it difficult.
The other one was Rajkovic, who didn't get a lot of room and through the middle. But, you know, if there's another – if Behemoth does – say Behemoth doesn't go to the Toorak, if there's another left-field horse come into the Toorak, I'd be looking for that different form line because I think they're a pretty even bunch.
Take out Behemoth, who did this with the Memsey as well. Take that out. The race has gone poor. Like, let's be serious. So, got to be careful, obviously, black booking these horses that are finishing off. Just don't know about them, Cascadia and Superstorm. Last race, well, equal to standard time. They've gone out pretty slowly here, Benny, but this is a really good race, I think. 23 flat last 400, 11.68 last 200. Felicia was on speed, sat outside She's a Thief, who got rolling, and then Felicia, well, backed up its performance at Moonee Valley a couple of weeks ago where it was off 70 days and it took showmanship to get over the top of it in the best last 400, last 200 of the day. It's improved from that. On speed, Caulfield, tick, tick, wins the race.
And that day at Moonee Valley, it was actually hard for leaders to lead and win. So great effort there, real platform into this race and showmanship. Obviously, probably a Group 1 horse, but is injured now. Felicia was never going to lose that race in the run. And you have a look at the market. Surprised the market was so solid for Liar, probably thinking that it would settle a little bit closer. And in the end, it got back worse than midfield. And I don't know if they pulled up with an issue, but it was never in the hunt at all.
No, you're right. Fiesta, 16 into 12, was good support for this horse and ran really well. Third, it was first up. So it obviously goes really well first up. I think seven goes for three wins. So it's a horse that's first up. Felicia, six just out to $6.50, wins the race. And Liar's the horse you talked about. The market wanted to be with it. $2.40 into $2.15. Got a message straight after the race from Trav Noonan, pretty good judge, and he just said, how does a horse like Liar start at that price, $2.15, when we know the pros want to play into such high percentage areas? Like I looked back on it, and I was with Liar, and I mapped her three back rail best case scenario. It's a low percentage play, especially around Caulfield on a dry deck, yet I was with sort of the majority of going into that, but we know it's such a low percentage play. It's, you know, you're always learning in this game in terms of what you do and how you can, you know, best utilize, you know, your bank and things like that. Felicia's the high percentage play. Yes, there was the wind. And Liar's the low percentage play, and you're taking 240 about it and ends up 215. Well, you get what you deserve.
But the market normally tells you if that's the wrong bet. But
well, they were suggesting she was just so well placed at the weights, the figures, what she'd done, her ratings. It was more or less saying, we don't care where she maps, she's still going to win the race. Well, we've know through many years being in the business, Benny, that it's not just as easy as being the best horse in the race. If that was the case, everyone would be living on islands. It just doesn't work that way. And here it is as another example of that.
Let's talk about Felicia. Where does she go now?
I don't actually really know. I think she's just been really well placed to win on Saturday, and now she's not up at the top ones. So I don't know if there's – I haven't really gone through the mare's grades in terms of where she can go, but she's not a Group 1 horse.
Well, I don't know. Maybe next year. If she might go to Adelaide next year for those Group 1s, and I think she can be competitive because I thought that was a really good win. Travelled so beautifully
That's a good shout in the fact that she's going to put herself on speed, and we've saw Liar run third in a Goodwood and run second in a Sangster. So as some say, the form does tie in. She's a nice horse, absolutely. We'll be back after the break. Trash and Treasure. Back with Money Man, Trash and Treasure. What is going into the garbage?
We talked about at length Caulfield race one. No margins, slow time. I think for this campaign, you can forget about a lot of these horses. They will be racing through the spring, and I think we can be against them going forward.
Yep, absolutely good point. I think the market will be against them. Liar for me. I spoke about her glowingly, I think, on Saturday on Insider Trading, but she is just a low percentage play every time. Until she can settle in the first four or five, which we know she just can't do, she's going to be hard to obviously follow in, and the fact that she's always at the pointy end of the market makes it difficult for her.
You could almost go in the bin for backing her.
It's not a bad – well, I deserve to go in the bin.
And Felicia, she was really impressive for mine, and as I mentioned, I think she's a mare of really good potential. Go to Adelaide next year, I reckon she can be a Group 1 horse. Maybe not this campaign, but next campaign, I think she can be a Group 1
horse. Order of the Garter for me, impressive in the naturalism. Don't worry about what the video shows you. The clock doesn't lie. It was a very impressive performance. We'll be back next week for the Underwood Stakes.